Thanksgiving, petition, the A in Acts.
Acclamation.
Acclamation.
And confession.
Confession. There you go. Yeah. Supplication.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what you're getting
at. So there are all of these. And this is the part, got to go back now because I'm talking very out of order. I'm extremely caffeinated. All of those different parts of prayer are also beneficial for us to do.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yes.
I mean, prayer in general, is for the glory of God, but it also is reciprocal.
That's right. It's not just functional or transactional. It's also formative. Well, I'm Will Schaferman.
And I'm Andrew Pinnock.
This is Accessibly Anglican, a podcast for the Anglo-curious.
And break. Hey, Will.
Hi, Andrew.
How are you?
I'm doing really well today.
Why is that?
There are a lot of reasons. One is because I'm sitting next to you.
Stop.
Behave. The second is because it's a beautiful day outside. I wish you could see with our camera right now the beautiful blue sky through two new windows to you as listeners.
And to me, because this is my first time being here.
First time here. What are the windows a window out of?
Andrew? I don't think you could have put that in any stranger of a way, but we're at the new Accessibly Anglican Studios in a new co-working space.
Come on.
In Liberty Park, which is a different part of Birmingham. We're closer to where our church meets.
Like a minute down the road.
Well, you keep saying that, but for me, it's like it's closer for sure.
Oh, I just mean though it's a minute from where we were.
Oh, yeah. Literally on like 1 minute from where our church meets. Yeah. And just, I don't know, we were discussing the place that we've been at was such a blessing mm-hmm. and such a nice place in so many ways.
Shout out to the dean. We love you. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for all you did for us, for our church.
That it seems strange that this place could feel so perfect.
Yeah.
When the other place felt wonderful too.
That's right.
But just the women that run this place are wonderful. I got mm-hmm. to meet them today.
Shout out to Tarika, to Portia, and to Destiny. You guys are amazing.
If you're watching the podcast, sweet. but yeah, it's just...
And it's just beautiful. I mean, it's...
We were discussing that the Dean is a place where a lot of, like, very hardworking people come every day and grind it out, which I very much respect as somebody who does not have a grind set mindset. But there's something very relaxing about being at a place that people are calling home.
Yeah.
They're coming here after their day.
That's right. Except for the few people that actually have a co-working space.
Well, and the other people, but
yes.
Yeah. There's just an air of calm. We got to play like ping pong.
We did it a great sweet. Ping pong table just around the corner from here.
Ping pong.
Which feels like cheating. You shouldn't be able to have that at work, but it's really nice.
Makes me feel like I'm back at Shipt.
I was going to say, it feels very Silicon Valley startup-y,
which
is kind of our vibe. Yeah. That's our vibe. Let's be honest.
Y'all, I wish you could see Will making a post on Instagram. It's like baby taking his first steps.
I do feel when I'm doing it the way that like I imagine my parents like texting or like with just a boomer doing anything technological. Like I've been a bit slow to the draw with all things digital.
Which is good, and it's like a part of who you are, and that's, I feel like I'm corrupting you a little bit by encouraging you in this.
I have a habit tracking app, and I have a habit where I can only access Instagram twice a day.
Oh.
So, and once if I do more than that, my streak ends. So I've got a long streak going, so I can't do it more than that.
Oh, man.
By the way, if you don't have a habit tracker, I mean, Andrew laughs at me with all my like getting things done mentality. One day, Andrew and I are going to sit down and he is going to read page by page with me, the book Getting Things Done by David Allen, which has transformed my life for the last 12 years. I've been using that same sort of productivity system. Anyway, but there is a new thing that's, I mean, it's been around forever, but like the last 10 years, habit tracking apps have kind of exploded. And there's one called Streaks on Apple. And it's just, it's simple, but it's so delightful to access and to use.
How are we so similar and so different?
I feel like, yeah, in some ways you probably have and will continue to rub off on me and vice versa. I'm just going to wait. I'm waiting for the day when Andrew's like, all right, give me the book. I'm going to read it. How are you going to respond to this?
I think I just need to try a different medication.
Well, without further ado, without too much banter, what are we talking about today?
Let's talk about the collects.
The what?
The collects.
The what?
The collects.
I don't know what you're saying.
Let's talk about the collects.
Oh, the collects.
I love Anglicanism. I'm very bothered by the pronunciation of that word. That's not right. It's pronounced collect.
1-800-COLLECT.
Yeah.
Which, again, we've talked about, you didn't grow up with.
No.
Which is too bad. You missed that whole era of payphone.
You have a collect call from, Mom, can you please come pick me up?
Yep. That's it. So we had, growing up, all the millennials and those older knew about 1-800-COLLECT. I've talked to multiple Gen Zers. And they have no idea what I'm talking about. This just blows my mind. I mean, I would just assume that, like, because it was like saying, what is AT&T? That's like the equivalent of it. It was so widespreadly used that you would assume that just some sort of relic of that stays around in the collective imagination that gets passed down to like a Gen Zer. Nobody has any reference point for it. So if you're a millennial and you're just now realizing that, you're welcome.
I don't know.
It's a fascinating.
It's a bad business model because it can be taken advantage of like that. But
yes, but it did really well. It's just that the payphones, it's like video killed the radio star.
I love that song.
Steve Jobs killed the 1-800-COLLECT people.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Yeah, we're talking about.
We're not talking about 1-800-COLLECT. We're talking about 1-800-COLLECT.
Collect.
Where you can call in and pray a day. One pray a day. What is a collect?
What is a collect? Okay.
I actually know. I think I should get to say.
Yeah, it. You should say what you do know.
Because you've explained this to me before. So in the Book of Common Prayer, which is still our ongoing topic, there are short prayers.
Yes.
Called collects.
Yes.
And what is interesting to me, what I learned about them is that they are at the end of sort of a prayer session where people were praying extemporaneously. It's like my favorite word, you know, praying about things that were specific to their community and everything else. One person would sort of take all the ideas and summarize them into a theme in a prayer. That's a few like 4 or 5 sentences long. And some of the best ones, for lack of a better way to put it, were written down.
Yeah.
And eventually included in the BCP.
That's it. So I don't have to answer your question.
Technically, you wrote it down. It's your question.
I don't have to answer the question that you asked me that I wrote down for you to ask me. But I think we should, for the sake of consistency, tell people the roadmap. So you've already answered question one, which is what is a collect? Then we're going to talk about where do they come from?
Mm-hmm.
When do you pray them? And how do you pray them?
Yeah.
That's the structure for today. So those of you who like to know where we're going, that's where we're going. So do you want me to take the second question then?
Sure.
And then you can fill in the gaps as we go along. Yeah. So the second question is, where did they come from? Collects developed over time. And in fact, in our Book of Common Prayer, which is an Anglican prayer book, it's very, very ecumenical, especially when you get to the back part of it, when it comes to the calendar and the collects. The collects, there's a chunk of them that are just written by people throughout church history, not necessarily Anglicans. And so like you have, even at the end of morning prayer, it's not really a collect, but it's an example of this, the prayer of John Chrysostom, which ends the service of morning prayer.
I love that prayer.
That prayer was written in 300 something. And he, that preacher, John Chrysostom, which just means golden mouth, Chrysostom. Anyway, that's like, you know, an example of an ecumenical prayer that got put into the BCP. But in addition to what was already extant or in existence when Cranmer compiled the BCP, he wrote a large number of them. And if there's any genius that Cranmer possessed, it was a genius for worship. He just had a mind that understood how the human heart related to God in prayer and worship. And so a lot of where he put his handiwork on this book was in the collation of things that existed and then bringing forth in like manner those that didn't, including the Collect. So like he collated the best of the liturgies and put them in a curated form for morning prayer, for Holy Communion, for baptism. But then he also recognized that there were gaps and he put this whole system together, right? We call it a proper. We'll get into that in a minute. But basically a proper consists of three things and it's to do on Sunday worship. So you have the collect of the day. That's the when question. There's a collect of the day, which is what the prayer for that Sunday, which is on a particular theme from scripture, but it's also keyed to the second portion of the propers, which are the scripture readings themselves. So when you go to the calendar, the lectionary, the reading plan for Sunday mornings, there are four readings. We use three just to keep things efficient. But there are four readings that are all picked on a particular theme, whether it's during the active portion of the church calendar, like an Advent, a theme on, you know, Isaiah and waiting for the coming of the Messiah. But then there's a collect that is themed around the same thing. And then the last part of the proper, so to speak, is this part of the communion service where we give thanks. This is after we say the Sursum Corda, Lord, lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. It is right and good to give him thanks and praise. And then it goes and explains why. So that's the preface. Before I can finish that thought, the preface is the sort of like the why behind why it's good and right to give God thanks and praise. And that's just based on the church calendar. So those are the three things that are proper: the collect, the scripture readings, and the preface. I know that's a lot for someone who's not Anglican, but it's helpful to sort of put this in your mind of how these things put together.
Well, I just learned something because I thought the proper was just the proper preface. I didn't realize it was all of those things.
Yes, those three things. A proper is a funny word. Again, a lot of Anglican terminology, but it's like saying, what's the theme today?
Yeah.
So anyway, all that's to say is that where do they come from, these collects? Some came from Cranmer, others came from other writers throughout church history.
Cool.
Yep.
So you kind of already answered this, but when do you pray them?
Yeah.
And actually, I have a sub question for you that's off script.
Ooh.
But
careful now.
Aren't there more collects than just the ones that are part of the proper,
Yes. So okay. That's part of the when question too.
Okay. So when do you pray them then?
All right. So we just talked about the first. So on Sunday mornings, there's a different collect for each Sunday. So, you know, literally 52 collects for Sundays, just rotating through. But then you pray them every day. So in morning prayer or evening prayer, when you do the daily office, go three episodes back when we talked about that. Toward the end of the service, there's a time of prayer, like more like proper proper prayer. And in that section, there's a space where you say several collects. The first and the sort of customary way of praying through the collects on morning prayer is you start with the collect from Sunday, called the collect of the day. Don't let that confuse you.
That is very confusing because
it is. But it's the collect of the day, even though it's from Sunday, but it carries forward into each weekday when you say it. So it's because you're supposed to just carry the theme from Sunday as you digest the sermon, for instance, you're also supposed to carry the theme in your heart throughout the week. So you keep praying that collect as you digest what God did in you on Sunday. But then there's a collect sometimes there's not one, but often there's a commemoration. So like a hero of the faith, what we would call a saint. And these are both Anglicans and non-Anglicans. And most days of the regular calendar, the secular calendar, there's like one or two people that the church wants to remember, men and women that faithfully served God in a way that just had a good story with it, or just exemplified Jesus in some specific manner. But these are like pastors, martyrs, reformers, religious, so like a monk or a nun, and those we pray, like there's a collect set for each category of those people, and you could pray not for them, but pray as like a model. Lord, thank you for this person's life as an example of what it means to follow you. So there's a collect of the day, collect for commemorating somebody. There's a collect for the day of the week. That's where it's confusing for the collect of the day, because if you look at the service of the daily office, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, there's like one collect for each weekday. We like to keep things interesting as Anglicans. And then finally, it's actually called a prayer for mission, but it's really a collect. Mm. And that prayer for mission closes out that section of those short prayers. But that's the other win. But there's one final win. So there's Sunday, there's every weekday, and then there's whenever you need or want to. So if you go to the back of the Book of Common Prayer, not only do you find collects with that exact terminology, but you also have this section right next to it called occasional prayers.
I've seen that. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's long. Like there's over 100 of them. They're like a lot of those occasional prayers. And they cover the gamut of topics. I wrote them down for you. The church, creation, the nation, society, those in need, family and personal life. And under each of these, there's like 10 to 20 different collects. Personal devotion, at times of worship, at death, or for the departed, or the communion of saints, and then finally, various thanksgivings. So it covers the gamut. So like, the beautiful thing about the BCP is, yeah, there's structured times of prayer, but you just pick it up when you're not sure what to pray for a particular need. Go to that topic, find a collect, and just let the words of that collect shape your imagination and shape your words as you pray to God.
That gets into the question you did not have on here, which is
yes.
The why a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do something different. I'm going to answer to the best of my ability first and then let you riff on that. Because
it's like an alley-oop that you do to yourself. Like, let me throw the basketball up in the air and then slam dunk it.
Yes, which is so cool when people do that. Basketball so is let's so watch cool. You. I love basketball. Anyway, so my best understanding of why is something that we've already talked about mm-hmm. with other parts of the liturgy, and liturgy in general is just the idea of, it's not necessarily that you can pray better, mm-hmm. but you can pray with more or less intention. Mm-hmm. And it's just like anything else. Like we talk about spiritual formation and the way that we are always being shaped by something.
Yep.
If you only ever pray just from your own mind,
yeah,
then that is shaped from whatever has gone into it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like saying, well, I'm never going to learn music theory. I'm just going to play an instrument.
Yeah.
Which, or, you know, I'm never going to practice my sport. I'm just going to play it.
Yeah.
And for some people that actually works, and for some people that's fine. But for most of us,
yeah.
You are informed. If you're a musician, you, are playing other people's songs. You're listening to other people's songs. Mm. If you're playing a sport, you have a coach, you have heroes, that you're emulating in some way. And so similarly, it just makes sense that, we would take these prayers that have been prayed by the church for centuries and use them to shape our own prayers.
Yeah. That's such a great analogy that I'd never thought about.
With
so
music?
You slam dunked that very well. Mm. Just the idea of like, yeah, take the music theory thing. Like if you want to grow in your capacity as a musician, you've got to learn the fundamentals. And if you want to grow in your capacity as a person of prayer, you probably would benefit from going to like the hard brass tacks of how to, you know, how the saints have prayed throughout the centuries.
Right. And, you know, I know Because this was also me. Some people are going to be kind of allergic to the idea of like praying someone else's prayers. And I've definitely like, there was a time where I would have felt mm-hmm. that way as well. But
didn't Jesus give us a prayer to pray? But I guess he's Jesus.
He is Jesus. He's not just some guy, but you know, truly I think it takes some amount of humility, honestly, because you have to recognize if you're really honest with yourself. And again, there are probably exceptions, mm-hmm. but if you're really honest with yourself, like most of my prayers kind of stink in the sense of not that they're not good enough, not that God doesn't hear them.
Not acceptable, or yeah.
Right. God accepts them. God hears them. And the Spirit is groaning on your behalf yes. and praying for Always. You. And all of that is still true. But at the same time, like, it's to me, it's mostly about completeness.
Yeah.
And that's something we've talked about with liturgy before is if I am praying on my own, totally just, you know, off the cuff.
Just going to miss things.
I'm not going to think of everything.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but prayer in general is in the same sense that it is, glorifying to God. It's sometimes petitioning mm-hmm. God. Because there are different flavors. What's the right word?
I don't know where you're going with this.
There's different reasons why we pray.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving,
petition. What's the word I'm looking for? Not affirmation, but the A in Acts.
Acclamation. And confession.
Confession. There you go. Yeah. Supplication.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what you're getting
at. So there are all of these. And this is the part, got to go back now because I'm talking very out of order. I'm extremely caffeinated. All of those different parts of prayer are also beneficial for us to do.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yes.
I mean, prayer in general is for the glory of God, but it also is reciprocal.
That's right. It's not just functional or transactional. It's also formative.
That's going at the beginning of the podcast. That's great. That is exactly what I'm trying to say. And so if we are being, like I already said, if we're being formed,
yes,
do we not want to be formed by sort of tried and true? Just like we defer to, on a local level, we defer to our pastor, mm-hmm. Largely for understanding the scripture. We defer to other pastors when we read, you know, books, when we read Tim Keller, when we read John Mark Comer.
If other authorities shape our theology, shouldn't we not also let them shape our spirituality?
Through prayer specifically.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So.
Which is a perfect transition to what is really the meat of this conversation, and that is, how do you pray the collects? Because the how gets to your point about the nuts and bolts of prayer, of becoming more capacious in your prayer life.
That's a $10 word, Will. I don't think I know what that means.
Yeah, you do.
Capacious?
Capacity, adjective form. Yeah, expanding your capacity.
Real word?
It's a real word, yes.
Capacious.
Yeah, think about that for a while.
Okay, Will be. I'll be thinking about that one.
Okay. So I've got back in seminary. I went to an Anglican seminary for 2 years in addition to a Presbyterian seminary for a year. So I have a nice blend. But at my Anglican seminary, I had a great course taught by the former dean president there. And it was on the Book of Common Prayer. And there's lots of good info there. And I often will refer back to those notes just as I'm talking about things related to this topic. But one of the things that was most enlightening was on, I think it was, I literally like listed my notes per day. It's like on Wednesday morning, it was like an intensive class we did during the week. Wednesday morning, we went through the construction of a collect. Mm. How is it put together? What are the different pieces of it? And how do they function as a whole? So I just want to walk through with you each of those pieces that make a collect. And again, a collect is like a almost one long sentence. Sometimes it's two sentences, but it's basically just like a long run-on sentence in a prayer. And so it doesn't take you any time to pray. It's just like a short, like it takes you 10 seconds max, maybe 5 seconds in some cases. So it's short, but each of the pieces matter deeply. So the first part of the collect, I'm going to use the collect for purity as an example. It's your favorite collect from Sunday mornings, one of my favorites. It's the first collect that we say together as a church. And it goes, Almighty God, unto you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Is that 10 seconds? Give or take? Okay, so the point is, that's our boilerplate for today. And I just walk through and understand when that collect was written, what was in the mind of the writer. So number one, Almighty God. This is what? This is an acknowledgement of who we're praying to. It's called the invocation. Okay, so we invoke God's name. When we pray, we don't just direct words toward the air. It's not this desperate plea for someone somewhere to listen to us. It's to a personal God who created you and me, who is always listening, whose eye is always gazing toward us, who sees, knows, is aware of. And so when we pray, we start directing our prayer to the God who loves us, who sees us, who knows us. What's funny?
Are we getting his attention?
So A.W. Tozer talks about this.
Okay.
The soul's gaze in prayer, like when we direct our attention to God, it's like somebody that's been staring at you all day long and you finally look up and see their gaze. Mm. Your gaze is meeting their gaze. You're invoking his name not as a, I'm bringing you out of the magic bottle as a genie, but as a acknowledgement of the person to whom you're, just like if you're with me and like we're talking and I'm like, hey, Andrew. And you're like, what? It's not like you weren't there. It's just, I'm addressing you in that moment. And so it's the address, it's the invocation. But the second part is, unto you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid.
And God says, tell me something I don't know.
Uh-huh. So this is the, what we call the ascription. Okay, like ascribing something to God of who he is. And it's, again, you don't have to tell God these things.
Right, my joke had a purpose.
Yes.
Why do we tell God what he already knows?
It's an acknowledgement. Again, this is the formative aspect of prayer. Mm-hmm. It's honoring, right? We're acknowledging something about God that's true. And so it's like if I were to say like, hey, Andrew, because you're somebody that I really trust, I want to tell you something, right? Like I'm ascribing something true about you, and then I'm going into what I want to say, right? So God, unto you all hearts are open, all desires known, from you no secrets are hid. This is a way for us to be able to sort of prime the pump for what's really the heart of the collect, which is the petition. Right, so which is what?
Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit.
Yes. Okay, so that famous quote, and I think it's both Luke and Matthew, where Jesus is like, hey, what father who has a son who comes to him and says, hey, if he wants bread, we'll give him like a snake or whatever. And if he wants
a fish, we'd give him a serpent.
That's right. And the recognition here that like God wants our prayers. He wants us to petition him. He invites us to do it because he delights to hear our prayers. And he has his own wisdom. He knows when the right time to say yes is, when the right time to say no is, when the right time is to say not yet. But he wants us to pray to him because he wants us to recognize that he is a God who is all powerful, who's all knowing, is all seeing, and who is working all things together for the good of those who love him. And so we offer our petition, in this case, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts. And that's an interesting one, because in the collect for purity, it's not like, dear God, for whom all the world is yours, please grant me a large retirement portfolio, right? You're asking something that is in keeping with his spirit. Not that you can't ask for tangible things, heal my body when it's sick, or I do need a paycheck or whatever. But it's saying, God, I want you to make me new again. Like, I want you to clean me out, get the dirt, get the gunk out of the channels of my heart. So that, and then we move into the next piece. So we've made our petition, but then there's a why. And this is what we call the aspiration. Okay. So what result or effect or ultimate end are you praying this prayer for? That we may
perfectly love you,
perfectly and worthily
magnify your holy name.
Yeah. Which is just so beautiful.
I know. That's why it's my favorite.
That's why it's your favorite. But that it, like, ultimately, this is the, it's like the arc of the prayer comes into full view here, right? This is what we want our prayers to do to us. But there's a problem, okay? And this is where the collect answers that problem toward the end.
How? How do we accomplish these things?
How do we accomplish it?
Through Jesus Christ,
through
our
Jesus
Lord.
Christ, mediation. Right. And even back in the Old Testament, if you were to communicate with God, it had to be through.
I don't actually know. The priest.
Okay. Right. So he, you know, specifically the high priest who bore the gemstones on his breastplate and represented the people to God and the God of people. Not that you couldn't pray, but like even back then, there was this understanding that your prayer went through the temple up to heaven and back down through. And so mediation is always part of prayer. Like, we cannot approach a holy God on our own. We need Jesus Christ, our Lord, to be the mediator. And so,
point of pure curiosity.
Yeah.
In that class, did they have you write collects as an assignment?
We're going to get to that in a second.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. The last piece of this, mediation follows what? So, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then what's the end of that collect, if you remember?
Amen. Did I miss something?
To whom with you and the Holy Spirit
be honor and glory now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
So that's the doxology. So you end with praise, right? Which is the perfect consummation. Like, you've told God who he is, reminding yourself in the process, honoring him in the process. You've then ascribed something. You've invoked him. You've ascribed something. Then you've asked him for what you're asking, your petition. You're telling him what you want this for, aspiration. You're doing it through Jesus, and you're ultimately giving praise to him in the process. That is a collect altogether. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Like, when I learned that for the first time,
that is so much in such a short.
It is packed. It just packs such a punch.
Yeah.
And there are hundreds of these. But to your point, yes, you can write your own. And I would encourage you to. You know, there's a big, the last 20 years, people have, like, really taken to writing haikus. You know, it's like, I can do this because it'll take me like a minute. You know, it doesn't take that long to write a haiku. It doesn't take that long to write a collect. And if you're trying to grow in your capacity as a person of prayer, why not try this? Practice it. Write your own. In fact, I've got a little example for you of what Will wrote back in 2015 when he took this class. It's not great.
Can I quote a haiku for you that I wrote first?
Yes. Only quoting it because it doesn't take long to, like, say a whole haiku. You mean the whole thing?
I mean to say the whole thing. I was making sure I had it in memory first, okay. But haikus are too hard. It's seven syllables, right? I'm running out of...
That's really good.
Thank you.
It's really good. You should apply that same level of creativity to collects.
I don't think I should write humorous collects.
I think God would love it. And I think the church would be better for it. So here is just an example. Don't take a lot from this, but this is at my homework assignment from that class.
I'm looking for the parts.
All right. Almighty God. Name the part.
Oh, I don't remember the names already. The invocation.
Yep. Who spoke peace to wind and wave.
Ascription. I wanted to say acknowledgement.
Yep. Give to your servants that quiet spirit which passes all understanding.
Petition.
That we, resting in you, may live by your design in holiness and love all the days of our lives.
The the purpose. What's the right term?
Aspiration.
Aspiration.
You don't want to aspirate, though.
No,
just an aspiration. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Jesus Christ, mediation and then doxology. Yeah.
That's actually really good.
You like it?
Yes, I really like the parallelism between God controlling the waves and then bringing peace to us.
And that's something I didn't really explicitly mention, but if you read through most of the Cox and the BCP, the ascription part is often taken from some story or moment in scripture. It's like God who rules the wind and waves, right? Or God who reached out to touch the woman and healed her, and then you're saying a cogged about
God who allowed Samson to slaughter all those men with the jawbone of an ass.
This morning from morning prayer.
Give us similar strength.
Although that was, I guess it's tomorrow, isn't it? Well, he didn't do the jawbone this morning. He just basically killed 30 guys and stole their clothes to repay a debt.
But he's going to get the jawbone. Yeah.
Yeah. And then his wife left him. How sad was that? Yeah. This is not Delilah. It's the first. I forgot that he had a first wife, and then
I did too.
Delilah comes along later. Anyway, so yes, you can write your own colics, and that's your takeaway practice for this week. Instead of a haiku, I know all of you are writing haikus all the time. Keep writing haikus, but also mix it up every now and then. Write a colic, and if you're bold enough, maybe post it on the YouTube channel.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
Or DM us, or somehow communicate with us digitally. And we'd love to see your collects.
Yeah.
And we'll give it an A, B, C, D, or F.
We'll feature the best ones on next week's podcast.
That's right.
Actually, well, I mean, we could talk about it. But is this a good juncture to talk about the podcast?
It's a great juncture to talk about the podcast.
Well, okay.
So drop the paper.
We
drop the mic.
We went through a discernment process.
Oh yes,
that's a nice way of nice sounding way of putting it.
Yeah,
where we discussed the future of the podcast, and we talked about putting it away maybe, and sort of making it a standalone introductory series to Anglicanism. But ultimately, we've decided, at least for now, that we're gonna continue on and move into some more general topics and sort of explore how Anglicanism views them,
engages with
or even answers, because next week we're going to talk about AI
and maybe the week after too.
Maybe it's a lot to talk about. It's a big thing. Me and Will have been very excited. We talk about it, about AI in our just personal conversations a lot. We use AI in some ways.
Yeah. So we use an app called Anglican Intelligence.
That's going to be the name of the episode for sure.
AI, Anglican Intelligence.
That's so good. Anyway. Yeah, we actually use AI to write every episode that you've heard so far.
Exactly. We're not even real. Talking.
This is VO3. But we're going to talk about AI, and then we're going to talk about some other sort of big world topics.
And
probably honestly share our personal opinions, but then ultimately talk about a little bit about what is the overarching Christian view and how does Anglicanism in particular answer to that.
Yep. Arching.
I'm excited about it.
Me too.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun. There's a lot to delve into.
And just a reminder that there are ways for you to subscribe and like and follow. We have an Instagram page. It's balling out. We've got like four or five posts now.
And we're going to have more every week.
Every week.
And you can even donate to us.
You can even donate. We're going to be soon creating a little link, probably through our church's website. That's a fund specifically for Accessibly Anglican.
I will put instructions on the description of the video.
We can have that up this week.
Yeah. There are small costs included with running a podcast. We use an app that helps me edit the video, and we have to host it through RSS. And we'd love to get some new microphones eventually. So if you enjoy the show, if you want to help out, anything
feel
helps.
Free. $5 for a coffee, you know,
We also spend a lot of money on coffee.
Over-caffeinated brain development while we're on this show.
I am vibrating a little bit today.
Yeah.
But
we're grateful for you guys being along on the journey. We're excited to continue to see what God wants to do with this.
More than anything, comment on stuff.
Absolutely.
Or email us at info@accessiblyanglican.com.
And just as another shout out, because we have been so well received by the folks at Livano, I just want to just commend them and invite you to just tell your friends about this place. We want them to be blessed. You know, like in Jeremiah, God's instructions to the people when they were in exile was seek the good of the city. And your welfare will be found in them. And I think the same thing about this place. There's like 200 units here. It's a huge place. And it just started leasing like a couple weeks ago. And they've got a huge task ahead of them. I have no doubt that they will succeed because this place is gorgeous. I mean, it's beautiful. It's smack dab amazing. But all that's to say is we want this place to be blessed and to be filled with life, literally.
Yeah.
Even as we have been blessed by them. And so just, you know, get the word out about Livano and we'd love to be, and they did not pay me to say that. I just want them to be blessed. So
I actually have one more, even more overarching request, which is just, pray for us.
Yes.
Pray for them.
Yes.
Because the
through the means of a collect, of course.
Yes. Write out a collect about this podcast.
Come on, Alex. I know you can do it.
But yeah, pray for us that maybe this would grow as long as it is serving God's kingdom.
Right, and let's write a collect about Accessibly Anglican right now. Ready? Almighty God, to whom all creative efforts are ultimately to your glory, please give us the capacity to grow in our, what's the word, Andrew?
To grow in our
ability to communicate the truths of your word and world through this podcast.
So that you may be glorified and your kingdom may grow.
Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit.
One God, now and forever. Amen. Boom. See?
That really is a great way to pray.
It's a great way to pray.
Well, cool. Until next time, I'm Andrew Panic.
And I'm Will Schaferman.
And this is Accessibly Anglican.
A podcast for the Anglo-curious. Thank you.